Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here in the studio, and my good friend Stephen Garchar is not quite in the studio, but he'll be here in just a few minutes. But we're going to go ahead and get started here on Sunday night, and it's been an exciting time of the year with the crucifixion, the resurrection of the Lord, and in a little less than two weeks, we'll have the Passover season, and I would really strongly encourage everyone to really study the Passover and see how the foretelling of the passion of the Messiah, the types and the shadows, the direct correlations between the Passover and the crucifixion. It's really a great study that I think will really enrich your faith. And we'll have more on that. And if you've ever been to a Messianic Seder, of course, most of you listening to this show will realize that the Last Supper, which we all know about, was a Passover Seder. Because remember, the scripture said Jesus wanted to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. And if you've ever been to a Messianic Seder where someone teaches the background, the traditions, the scripture of the actual Seder meal, and how Jesus, when he did it at the Last Supper, modified it in a way that introduced the new covenant, I think you'll really get a lot out of that, and it'll really enrich and really deepen your faith more than anything else. Because, of course, the Hebrew roots of our faith are very powerful. Remember, as Paul says in the book of Romans, I think it's chapter 10, but it might be 9. I don't have it in front of me, but we as Gentiles are the wild olive branches that are grafted into the domesticated olive tree. And that's a very powerful image, because Judaism is the root and the trunk of the tree, and we're grafted in. But the reason we're grafted in is by the work that Messiah did. And without Messiah, we wouldn't be grafted in, because we are not the covenant people. We were the, and I'm talking about Gentiles. If you're a Jewish believer listening, that's awesome. But the Gentiles that are listening, we're the unclean, uncovenant people. But we're now grafted in. We're now in the kingdom. We're now in the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, because of what Jesus did on the cross. And as we're going to talk about today, and perhaps next, and probably next week as well, the resurrection being the ultimate sign that this sacrifice was the true sacrifice for sin once for all, as the writer to the Hebrews says. And, you know, he had kind of, even early on in his ministry, Jesus had kind of indicated to his friends that he was going to die, that evil men were going to put him to death, but that he would rise on the third day. And when we did the, a couple of weeks ago, when we had the account from Luke of the morning of Easter, the morning of resurrection, when the women were at the tomb, you know, the angel said to the women, don't you remember that he told you on the third day he would rise? It says, and then they remembered. Remember, keep in mind something I always say, and I always tell all my friends, is Jesus expects us to know the scripture. And if we pay attention to the scripture, we should know these events that are going to happen. So he told them on the third day he was going to rise again. They didn't quite believe it. And even these women, even the apostles that mention it later, they really didn't, they heard him say this, but they couldn't really believe such a thing until they realized, when they remembered that he had said it and saw the empty cloths in the tomb, then the whole thing kind of crystallized for them that this is what he was talking about. And even back at the beginning of pretty in the early days of his ministry with them, you know, he was he made a statement which is in the book of John. It's in John chapter 2 about the temple being destroyed and rebuilt in 3 days. Now, he was talking about his body. They were looking at the physical temple. So the temple, of course, was this massive building. It was the holiest place on earth at that time. It was where people met God, where people offered their sacrifices, where the priests did their ministry. And it was actually a very beautiful, large building. And, you know, the people there asked Jesus, you know, what sign do you show us about these things? Like, what sign are you going to give us? And he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. So here they were standing in front of the temple and he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days raise it up. Steve Garchar has now arrived.
I have.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Phil.
You only missed a few minutes.
Elijah never stopped by with his chariot of fire. That's why I'm late. It's pretty slow any other way to travel.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're talking about the resurrection.
Oh.
And we're talking about when Jesus said, you know, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I wasn't there when you said it, but I remember reading about it.
I wasn't there either, and I'm older than you are.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, in John chapter 2, this is like 18 to 22, then when the leaders heard this, they said, ha! You know, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days?
Yeah.
And they didn't realize when he was talking about the temple, he was talking about his body. He was talking about the physical resurrection of his physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an interesting passage because it says later on, that after he had been raised and the disciples heard about this, it says the disciples remembered he had said this.
Yeah.
And then they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had said.
Mm-hmm.
Because they listened to him all the time, just like when we did a show a few weeks ago about when Philip said to him, you know, show us the Father and then everything will be cool. And he says, how long have you been with me and you still don't get this? Because, you know, he talked all the time, but yeah. These guys didn't always get what he was talking about.
Yeah. Isn't it in Jewish tradition that listening and hearing are two different things?
Yes, exactly.
That listening is listening, but hearing is actually understanding.
That's right.
And so a lot of times what we have here is, I think, you know, they listened to Jesus talk.
Yes.
But they really didn't have a depth of understanding of hearing him.
Yes.
And we have a lot of that in our culture today. People listen, but they don't, they don't hear.
Yeah.
But in following up with what you've said is that he said this, now it's happened, and now they go, oh, wait a minute, he did say that.
So that's what he was talking about.
They're going to have a lot of these aha moments, if you will. Oh, now we get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a lot. Like even when the two angels tell the women at the tomb, remember he told you in Galilee that on the third day he was going to rise? It says, and then they remembered that he had said that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, I remember now.
Right. And then, like last week, the road to Emmaus.
Yes.
How foolish and slow of heart you are to believe all that the prophets spoke about me.
Yeah.
Not me, but the Messiah.
Yeah.
So, there is, but when he said this, this was really in Jesus' first year after, this was, obviously, he's after the wedding feast at Cana in John chapter 2.
Yeah.
But this is really in his first year of public ministry.
Pretty early on.
Yeah. So he says this, and they don't understand it.
No, they weren't even like warmed up yet. No. They were just getting started.
Yeah, they're thinking of the physical structure of the temple.
Yes.
And he's exactly. talking about the temple that is the body. You know, the body that God gives us is created by God's own hand. Mm-hmm. It's a temple.
Yeah.
And we're responsible for it, to take care of it to the best of our abilities, because the Holy Spirit dwells within us.
Yes. Paul calls it the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Very important that Jesus ascended, because the Holy Spirit wouldn't have come.
Yeah. And interesting is that's always a pretty powerful and amazing part of the plan of salvation, is that you had this physical temple where you had to go to worship.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you.
Yeah.
Your body becomes his temple. You have this intimate relationship with Jesus as Messiah and as the second person of the mm-hmm. Trinity. And you call God Abba. You call the Father Abba, Daddy.
Yeah.
We're adopted sons and daughters of the Father.
Right.
So we have this amazing relationship with all three persons in the Godhead in a very intimate way, which is much different than a whole big, beautiful building made out of stone. It's not to say you shouldn't go to church, but I'm just saying it's our bodies actually become a temple.
I was going to say, if you know, as you often point out in your, you know, in Torah studies and in studying the Old Testament, about the temple that was made where they would offer sacrifice, because there was an outer court mm-hmm. where there was the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies.
Right.
And you know, the outer court is just the place around the temple area. You know, the inner court is coming into, but you can't go into the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. That was reserved just for the high priest.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, that area was always veiled. It was always mm-hmm. cordoned off, if you will.
Always a separation.
Yeah, there was always that separation, so you couldn't see it. When Jesus dies on the cross, the veil of the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. Everybody can see into the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Holy Spirit dwells within us because he ascends to, you know, I don't want to get ahead to the ascension because we're not there yet. We're still the Easter season. But as you're saying, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, and we are temples of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the Spirit dwells within us. God's own Spirit is dwelling within us. And, that's pretty awesome. I mean, that's pretty awesome considering that you couldn't even go into the Holy of Holies.
That's right.
Before Yeshua came.
That's right. And the book of Hebrews, which is, in fact, my favorite book, in case you're all wondering, there's this beautiful...
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, there's this beautiful, you know, there's this beautiful concept about now we can approach boldly.
Yeah.
You couldn't approach boldly in the temple.
Right.
There was a barrier there. No one could approach boldly. I mean, if you took the most awesome priest or the most awesome Pharisee with all his robes on and everything, he could not go through that veil.
Right.
The high priest went once a year.
Right.
And we can approach boldly because the separation is gone.
Yeah.
And it's not just a, you know, we don't hear that much about it, and we don't want to sort of go over Good Friday again, but, you know, I don't think we talked about it on the shows we did a couple weeks ago, whenever it was. But, you know, when the veil in the temple was torn in two, you know, this is an amazing example of what's happening. It's an amazing picture to think about.
Oh, yeah.
Because now the separation is gone. We can approach the Holy of Holies in a very real way. And this is one of the most powerful symbols, because no one was worthy to go in, of course, but now with the saving act of Jesus on the cross, the veil is torn, it says, from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Now, I always have to point out, and you probably all know, those of you that are listening, this was not like some little sheer curtain or some little, you know, shower curtain or something. This was a huge curtain. Mm-hmm. It was 6 inches thick. Made out of heavy cloth. It was the equivalent of about two stories high. I mean, this was a big thing.
Yeah.
And it was torn from top to bottom.
Yeah. And if you think about it, we've talked about it during you know, during the Lenten season of Moses wanting to see God's face.
Yeah.
God says, no, you can't see me because nobody can see me and live.
Yeah.
Then Isaiah's in the temple. He sees, you know, the heavenly host and he says, woe is me, I'm doomed. And then you have, is it Uzzah? Goes to study the ark and he's struck dead because he touches the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
So this is, you know, this is really amazing that Jesus comes and dwells with us. He walks with his disciples for three years. He's resurrected. And there's more of God's promise to come.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to dwell within us. And now we're temples of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just absolutely amazing that we've gone from you can't see me and live to I'm going to send my spirit to dwell within you.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's awesome.
Oh,
and that's our inheritance.
It's our inheritance.
It's part of our inheritance of the gift of salvation.
And it's the plan of salvation. Exactly right.
Yeah.
It's as the things went through and the types and shadows were shown, the ultimate goal of it is for us to be here doing what we're doing now and having unlimited access to the Father, Spirit living within us, saved by the Son as our Messiah and Lord and Savior. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And I think that, as Paul always points out in the book of Romans, which might be my second favorite book.
Better than you.
I think it's second favorite.
All right, good.
And although Deuteronomy's up there too. Ooh. But, you know, as he points out in Romans, he talks about how we're delivered from this bondage, not only the condemnation that the law gives us, but we're also delivered from this bondage we have to sin.
Yeah.
Because our old sinful self is crucified too.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in a new covenant.
Yeah.
And it's the high priest, you know, Aaron and the high priest that came after him would have never conceived of such a thing.
Yeah.
Now, when you talked about how we talked, the shows we did about that, the passage about before Abraham was, I am.
Yeah.
And we talked about how Jesus actually said, well, when Abraham saw my day, he rejoiced.
Mm-hmm.
And the Greek meant that he leaped at it.
Yeah.
And before they started saying, you know, you saw Abraham, you're not even 50 years old.
Yeah.
He could have said to them, you know what? Abraham was so excited about my day that he was jumping around praising and being joyful. And you guys are standing here plotting to kill me and being hostile poops.
Well, you know, when you spoke about Aaron, it made me think of when they're in the desert and he builds the calf, golden calf, you know, something that is, that's not obviously a temple for the Lord, but they would, you know, getting back to the cleansing of the temple, they didn't have any understanding of any of this, nor could they.
Yes.
Nor could they.
Exactly.
As God's plan of salvation unfolds over those centuries.
Yeah. And
this is a good resurrection song.
It is.
Yeah.
Ooh. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lived. Amen. Covered in sin and shame, I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the sun away. Amen. Amen. I'm alive.
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song.
Oh, that's awesome. Who sings that?
Matt Maher. Matt Maher.
I don't listen to him very much. Maybe I should start.
He's got a couple of good songs. Yeah. Yeah. There's another good song coming up you'll like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I listen to so much Chris Tomlin and, of course, so much Messianic music.
Oh, Chris Tomlin's good, too. We should do just a music show one day.
Oh,
we just play music the whole
time. My wife and
hour.
I went to the concert he did last fall at...
you told me about that.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Especially with, like 15,000 or 20,000 people or whatever it was there.
Yeah.
It was pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah.
But... yeah, he was, it was kind of like, it was such a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the sound system and the music, and it's like, you kind of get surrounded by the music.
Yeah.
And it's pretty neat.
By the worship, yeah.
I don't understand anything about music, but it was pretty powerful.
Well, you know about minor chords.
It was mostly major chords he was playing though.
Ooh.
But anyway, he and Paul Wilbur they couldn't play together.
A whole different topic, yeah.
Anyway, but, we were talking about the veil ripping, and as Steve was talking about the, and the ark and the falling, people forget that the reason, of course, people who took my Torah class know this, but,
yes.
the thing to keep in mind is the reason there was a separation was God was showing the people that he is holy, mm-hmm. they are sinners.
Yeah.
So they cannot approach,
mm-hmm.
because sin cannot approach.
Right.
God cannot tolerate sin being in his presence.
Right.
And this is the beautiful thing about, this is why gospel means good news. This is why we have good news, is because now that doesn't apply to us like it did then, because there was a separation, which when the veil tore, of course, the separation was gone. And we can approach the throne boldly, but it got to the point where Uzzah was a Levite, but he wasn't the right kind of Levite that was allowed to touch the ark.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different order of Levites.
Right.
There was these very strict rules because God set the agenda. God set the standards for how he was to be approached.
Mm-hmm.
And if you failed that, you were struck dead.
Yeah.
Now, Uzzah was trying to do something nice.
Yeah.
Good. The ark was going to fall off the cart.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of problems there to think about, is the ark wasn't supposed to be on a cart. They were supposed to carry it with poles.
Right.
So that was mistake number one.
Yep.
And Uzzah wasn't qualified to touch the ark, but he did it. He violated the law. He was struck dead.
Yeah.
And I heard a pastor do a teaching once that stuck in my head, is that in God's mind, if the ark would have fallen into the mud is not an immoral, sinful thing. It's neutral. But Uzzah is a sinful man.
Yeah.
So he's not allowed to touch the ark.
Yeah.
You can only touch the ark with the poles.
Yeah. And that's the grace of the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that
Amen.
Even though we are still sinners,
mm-hmm.
we can only approach because of his blood.
Amen.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, because if we don't have the blood of Jesus Christ, if I try to approach God without the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm a goner.
That's right. Yes.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah. And when he said, no one comes to the Father except by me.
Yeah.
When you discuss what you just said is something that you have to keep in mind now as you walk around your grocery store, place of employment, your school, whatever it is,
because
mm-hmm. people say, well, I think all roads go to the same place. As long as, you're sincere and you're good. And, as people say, you can be sincere and you can be sincerely wrong.
Yeah.
And, not all roads go to the same place. There's only one road that goes to the place.
Right.
And without the shedding of that blood, there's no forgiveness of your sin.
Right.
And I was witnessing to a good friend of mine who's a Muslim, and he wanted to know what the story was on all this blood talk of Christianity. So I shared that with him, and he said, well, no, that can't be right. And I said, why is that? And he goes, well, because I'm the sinner. I deserve the punishment. And I go, exactly.
Yeah.
You do deserve the punishment. That's why this is good news.
Exactly. He's got it right. That's he right. understands it. Just doesn't know it yet. I mean, that is really the essence of it. That what he said
yeah.
is really the truth of what's there.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is because Jesus shed his blood for me, yes. for my sins,
yes.
I can now approach the throne of God and call him Abba, Daddy.
Yes.
And the blood of Jesus washes me and
yes.
cleanses me of my sin.
Yes.
I mean, that's the grace that we find in Jesus Christ. And that's why it's good news.
Yes. It's a radical paradigm shift. It's radical. And the way things were structured in the temple and before that in the tent was to show you that you were not worthy, mm-hmm. to show you you could not approach. The high priest had to go with blood.
Yeah.
He could go once a year because they're all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
We're all sinners too.
Right.
But
right.
like the writer to the Hebrews says, you know, the blood of bulls and goats doesn't have any power to take away sin. But his blood has infinite power to take away sin.
Yeah.
The blood of bulls and goats was just a foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
It was the blood atonement.
Right.
And it's such a fascinating thing the way it's presented and the way it works out. Not only that the covenant people are covered by this, but all of us Gentiles are covered by this. And when I teach the Torah class, and I did this last night at a group, it was interesting to think that God picks one man who's Abraham. Actually, it's Abram at the time. But he picks Abraham, who then becomes the father of one child of promise, Isaac, who then becomes the father of the next child of promise, Jacob. So one guy starts. He has a son. The other one has a son, then that one has 12 sons. So he goes from one man to a family.
Mm-hmm.
So when they go to Egypt, they're basically a family going to Egypt.
Right.
When they come out of Egypt, they're a nation. And when they go back into the land, they're a nation. But when Messiah comes, all the nations come to him.
Yeah.
Isaiah says all the nations are going to come.
Yeah.
And people who did not seek him will find him.
You know, when the Son of Man is lifted up,
yes,
I will draw all men to myself.
Yes, amen. And this is the whole ultimate plan of this. The resurrection is the sign, the ultimate sign, kind of the confirmation of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there, you know, we could talk later about, because this will probably stretch into more than one show, I have a feeling. But
might. Got a possibility of doing it.
You know, Paul says if there's no resurrection, then we're still in our sins.
Right. And this is why, you know, when Jesus is cleansing this temple and they ask him, you know, what do you, by whose authority are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, saying that he's going to raise this temple on the third day is a prophecy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And when it's fulfilled, they believe, you know, they believe, so this raising of his own body is the sign of the fulfillment of mm-hmm. part of God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you think about it, Jesus is resurrected. He has a resurrected body, but the nails and the piercing of the lance is still there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Even in his glorified body,
the nails are still there because, and I would think so that lest we forget.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And just like Thomas was able to put his fingers in the wounds.
Yeah.
And I think when.
I mean, think of that.
Yeah. When we go to heaven and see Jesus in a glorified body, we're going to see the wounds.
Yeah.
And they're going to be there for all eternity for people to see the wounds.
Yeah.
And even though there's no pride in heaven. There isn't, you know, argument and bickering and debating.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you see those wounds, it's going to remind you of how you got there.
Yeah.
And that this was not your doing.
Yeah.
You have to cooperate, but it's not your doing.
Right.
And that's the most powerful thing when you think about his being resurrected out of that tomb.
Yeah.
And of course we have to say, you know, it sounds kind of funny, but you know, the stone was moved not so he could get out, but so that the other people could go in.
he really didn't need the stone to be moved to get out of there, did he?
No. But you know, when you think about this powerful image of when he's standing in the upper room and says, well, look, you know, they've just yelled out, it's a ghost.
Yeah.
And he says, well, come and touch me. I have flesh and bone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a real body.
Yeah.
Then he confirms it by saying, you got anything to eat?
Right.
You know, a spirit's not going to stop and eat a, you know, piece of fish.
Right. And then he invites Thomas to come and place his finger in the wound.
Yes.
His hand in the side.
Yes.
As we're talking about this, I'm just, you know, picturing like Jesus extending his hand to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, saying, well done, my good and faithful servant,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
and that wound and that mark of that nail is going to be right there for you to take.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's that song that I really like that has that, I can't think of the name of it now. You probably know. But it's about one of these days, you know, one of these days, I'm going to see the hands that took the nails for me. And I think we're going to see the wounds.
Yeah.
And you're going to just be, I don't know how you're going to react.
Yeah.
You know, like the other song says, are you going to shout hallelujah? Are you going to be able to talk at all? Are you going to dance around? Are you going to be down on your knees?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who knows how you're going to react? Because there is no way to react.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, you don't know how you're going to react, because I think it's going to just be overwhelming at that point in time that when you actually see the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and those wounds on his hands and mm-hmm. his feet and his side,
mm-hmm.
that they were there for you.
Yeah.
They were there for me. And, you know, none of us, you know, it's just amazing how that conversation with that person who is, Islam
mm-hmm.
is so accurate.
Yeah.
Even though they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah.
That's right.
But their understanding of the punishment of sin is so right. It's something that I think we as believers can't ever forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is why, you know, God had the Israelites celebrate the Passover in the first person.
Yeah.
Lest you forget.
Exactly.
And, you know, when you, there's a lot of differences in religions and those types of things. And the cross of Jesus Christ is, you know, it's a sign of God's love for us, but it's also a different sign for other people who don't believe,
mm-hmm.
you know, for Jewish people, for even, believers and non-believers. Some people can't bear to look at a cross with a crucifix with a corpus on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a remembrance of what he did for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to take that body off the cross, what does that cross represent? The cross is the one who was on the cross that redeemed me. It wasn't the cross itself,
mm-hmm.
because the cross was an instrument of punishment,
yeah.
but God chose it to be an instrument of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the depth of God's love and mercy for us and his plan of salvation is just, as we've been doing this show for how many years? Like 6 years now? It's just
maybe seven. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just amazing how much God reveals and shows to you.
Yes.
You know, and to me and you as we prepare and talk about things. It's just amazing that the depth of, you know, where he takes you.
Yeah. And I think the more you read the scripture, the more you pray, the more you think about these things, the more it shows you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The depths of it.
Yeah.
Like we were saying earlier, it's like the depths of it are just like when you understand the Hebrew background of what's going on, mm-hmm. you understand it in a deeper way.
Yeah.
when you go to a Messianic Seder and you realize, well, you know, the Last Supper was a Passover Seder and Jesus would have done this, but at this point he did something different that mm-hmm. night than they were used to.
Right.
I mean, you get a much more depth of understanding of it, but
of how different it was.
Yeah, how different it was. And like we always say, those guys sitting there would have said, well, I don't know what he's talking about, but we never did this at a Seder before. But anyway, but they had no way to understand that the covenant was about to change.
Mm-hmm.
And as dejected as those people were, I mean, Friday night and Saturday night had to be just really a depressing time for his followers. I mean, I can't even imagine what they all were doing.
Yeah.
Talk about dejected. They would have probably thought, man, you know, this is like those guys going to Emmaus. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Man, I don't know. Are we going to have to go back to fishing now? Did we do all this for nothing for the last 3 years?
Yeah.
Now he's dead. And
let alone their livelihood, but their own lives.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
they're going to come after us next.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody can really imagine what those hours were like for them.
Yeah. It's, I mean, when you have some kind of family tragedy or some personal tragedy or some death of a close loved one, and you have that sort of, you know, sitting in your house going, oh, I can't believe this happened. That would have been magnified for these guys by a factor of 10, because they had put their whole life into this for the last 3 years.
Yeah, they left everything they had.
Yeah, it's not like they were doing it part-time.
Right.
And
they
had, like we talked about before, they had certain ideas in their mind about what Messiah was going to do. And now all of a sudden, he's dead.
Yeah, what do we do? Yeah, what do we do?
Yeah.
Yeah, and even as they see the risen Lord when he appears to them, you know, it's some of the passages say they dared not ask him who he was. You know, I mean, so it's clear that they're just beside themselves, if you will. And that's probably just putting it mildly.
Yeah,
you know, that you're not even going to ask, is this the Lord? Is this him?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to ask.
But
when
he is raised, and Paul talks about this in Romans, it's in chapter 6, you know, when he says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in a newness of life. We have newness of life now because of this. So the dejection that those people had, you can't even imagine not only his close advisors, but there was a whole, you know, circle of people that knew him well, had traveled with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to mention Mary, his mother.
Right.
Now, maybe he had, you know, the scripture doesn't say, but maybe he had told her what was going to happen. We don't know.
Right.
But she would have been pretty dejected along with the rest of these guys.
Yeah.
But now we have newness of life.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to this. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So I want to say one more thing from Romans chapter 6 before we go on to something else. And that is, you know, Paul writes that if we died with Christ, we know that we're going to live with him. Because when he's raised from the dead, he doesn't die anymore. So death has no more dominion over him.
Right.
You know, he says, likewise, you reckon yourself to be dead to sin, but alive in Jesus.
Yeah.
So we're going to share in that resurrection.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, that the resurrection took place on the Jewish Feast of First Fruits,
mm-hmm.
the Feast of the Lord, one of the great Feasts of the Lord, First Fruits. Because in 1 Corinthians, Paul says he's the first fruit of the resurrection.
Yeah.
So all these things happen in a pattern. All these things, these are not random events.
All God's plan.
Right. Die on Passover, rise on the Feast of First Fruits, because we are also going to rise. He's the first fruit, but we're going to rise too.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to read from Romans I think is your favorite book.
Second favorite.
This is Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. But God proves his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's the good news of the gospel.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the reason that we remember the birth of Jesus. That's the reason that we celebrate the 40 days of Lent. It's the reason that we celebrate, Holy Thursday and Good Friday, remembering the Passover, remembering the passion of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason why we celebrate his resurrection.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Whether you want to call it Easter Sunday or not, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, and that's why we celebrate it, because we remember what he did for us.
Exactly.
And that's why these 50 days that lead up to Pentecost should be a joyous celebration for every Christian, because the promise of new life is ours.
Mm-hmm.
And the inheritance that we're going to receive continues.
Mm-hmm.
With the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost.
Yeah.
You know.
And empowering us.
Empowering us. I mean, the resurrection of Jesus is a pivotal point. And it's a joyful it's joyous. But there's still more.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And it's the whole thing. Everything starts in the Garden of Eden.
As
you're saying that, I'm still thinking about, I always have this saying that all salvation history is about two gardens and two trees. Everything starts in Eden.
I've heard you say that before.
Yeah. And, it's interesting that, Paul refers to Jesus as the second Adam.
Yeah.
In Romans. And in 1 Corinthians, he says, this is in verse 20, since by man came death, by man with a capital M comes the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die. Even so in Christ, all shall be made alive, each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are his.
Yeah.
So we're his. We're going to be not the first fruits of the resurrection.
Right.
He's the first fruit.
He is, yeah.
But it shows you now that sin and death are defeated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, in Colossians, I can't remember what chapter it's in. It might be 2 or it might be 1. I don't know. But this is about how, he made us, a spectacle of Satan on the cross. Well, when you think about it, that's kind of difficult to understand, because a person who is being crucified is not only brutally executed in this horrible way, but he's also humiliated on the cross.
Yeah.
There's a humiliation to it. And yet Paul writes that he made a spectacle of Satan, because by this act, by what looks like this horrible, and it was horrible, by this horrible scene, Satan is being, the power of Satan is being withered away. The power of Satan is being destroyed, and the power of death is being destroyed.
Yeah, it's
death is the last enemy.
Yeah, it's the second chapter of Colossians.
Yeah. And it's, you know, he's, in 1 Corinthians, says the last enemy that's destroyed is death.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we can live forever.
Yeah.
We're not dead in our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And the passage you read is great because he doesn't tell those guys, I want you to go out and fast for 3 years and pray and repent of what you've done and then come back and see me and we'll talk.
Mm-hmm.
He dies for them while they're still sinners.
Yeah.
He dies for Peter, who's just disowned him three times.
Yeah.
And not to mention us.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Carrying our sin with him that day.
Yeah.
Not only what you've done up to this point, but even what you're going to do tomorrow and next week and next year and all that sin.
Yeah. I mean, it, when you think about it, it's pretty sobering.
Ugh.
It is. It's.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know we were going to talk about the seeing the nail prints and the wounds, but now I can't get that out of my mind. It's an amazingly powerful concept.
Yeah, the pastor at the church that I minister at talked about that last week, and that was really powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a to think a glorified body that's going to be in such a beautiful, glowing state with, you know, is still going to have those wounds.
Yeah.
And our glorified bodies aren't going to have the wounds.
Yeah.
But we're just going to be happy and excited to be there.
Yeah.
Because we've been delivered, like that song says, you know, I was in a grave covered by sin and shame.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of beautiful people walking around outside that are dead in their sin and covered with shame.
Yeah.
And they didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
I can't believe the show's over already. I still got more stuff. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would come to know the love of Jesus Christ in his life, his death, and resurrection, and his shedding of his blood on the cross for your sins, that you would come to receive him as Lord and Savior of your life. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.